Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Robert Jensen. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Sonali.
President Obama addressed members of the African Union today as part of his ongoing tour of the continent. He spoke frankly about the issues of corruption and dictatorship, saying that those African states that violated human rights, quote, may have democracy in name but not in substance. He called out specific states including Kenya, Ethiopia, and Burundi. Meanwhile, just as Obama gave his speech in the northern African state of Libya, where his administration led a NATO war, a court sentenced Saif al-Islam, Muammar Gaddafi's son, to death. Eight other people were also handed the death penalty alongside him for the crime of killing protesters in 2011. The sentence was immediately criticized by Human Rights Watch and others, who said the judicial system is too corrupt. Libya has been racked by violence and instability since NATO overthrew Gaddafi's regime in 2011. Well, Bob, there was great irony in Obama lecturing African Union leaders while the fruits of his work are unraveling in the African nations of Libya and Egypt. What do you think?
Well, you seem to think that moral principle means the application of a moral lesson equally across all times and places. You also seem to be implying that the law is only relevant if it's applied equally in all times and places. Well, these are radical ideas, of course. And you're absolutely right. The United States, just take Egypt. The United States has been probably the greatest external impediment to democracy in Egypt for the last 50 years. If you look at Africa, you would also want to talk about history. Why do the, let's say, ethnic conflicts, why are some of the resource wars in Africa going on? Well, that has something to do with the history of European and American intervention in Africa, of course. So it's all to the good for external forces to try and help promote the forces of democracy in a country. But that requires aiding those forces, not merely giving lectures. Hence, I think your criticism is well taken.
And Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton continues to campaign hard for her party's nomination. In a speech on Monday in Des Moines, Iowa, on the issue of climate change, she called for sweeping reliance on renewable energy sources, aiming for targets even higher than President Obama has promised. According to the New York Times, Clinton's strategists see climate change as a winning issue for 2016. Her campaign released a detailed plan on Sunday, but Mother Jones magazine pointed out that, as in the past, she refused to say whether or not she opposed the controversial Keystone XL pipeline, which progressives have long campaigned against. Meanwhile, a new study has identified a so-called triple threat from climate change to coastal communities living in the U.S. cities of New York, L.A., Houston, San Francisco, San Diego, and Boston. A deadly combination of sea level rise, heavy rainfall, and storm surges are now thought by researchers to be greater than previously estimated. Well, Bob, Clinton sees climate change as a winning issue. Should we take comfort in that?
Once again, I'm getting a hint, Sonali, that you think the Clinton campaign sometimes makes purely mercenary judgments about what issues to take up and what positions to take on them. I'm kind of shocked by that. But, you know, the Clinton campaign maybe should just be called the We Know No Shame campaign, and the groveling that they're willing to do to the wealthy and then the way they'll spin that for the public. You know, the climate change issue is important, and anything that raises attention is important and useful. But Clinton is right. Critics of Clinton are right to say that her talk about renewable energy has to come also with a critique of the expanded exploration of fossil fuels. That means the Keystone XL pipeline. Her dodging of that issue is just a stunt. She knows perfectly well she can speak openly about it. But in addition to that, we also have to talk about conservation as well, which is important.
And finally, the latest in the ongoing series of attacks on Planned Parenthood has found that the abortion provider's website was apparently hacked into. A spokesperson from the organization told the Washington Post that, quote, extremists who oppose Planned Parenthood's mission and services have launched an attack on our information systems and have called on the world's most sophisticated hackers to assist them in breaching our systems and threatening the privacy and safety of our staff members. The FBI and Justice Department have reportedly been notified of the attacks, which come just weeks after a controversial undercover video was released by a right-wing anti-abortion group, claiming that Planned Parenthood sells fetal tissue for medical research. Republican lawmakers like Senator Rand Paul have fast-tracked an attempt to defund the organization. Well, Bob, why are Congress members still taking this story seriously? It's so clear that that video was a setup and that none of their claims are truthful.
Well, there's a couple of things to always remember about these attacks on Planned Parenthood. One is that Planned Parenthood is a health provider. It's not just a place women go for abortions. They provide comprehensive health services. And an attack on Planned Parenthood is, in a lot of ways, an attack on a concern for women's health. The second thing that's so important, I think, is to always keep the discussion of abortion in the context of patriarchy. I hate to use such an old-fashioned term, that unless women have control over their own reproduction, in a patriarchal society, women are not free in a meaningful sense. And I think whatever the issue of the day, we always have to come back to that central reality about why abortion matters and why women's health more generally is the issue, not just abortion.
Bob, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Sonali.
My guest is Robert Jensen. He's an author and a professor of journalism at the University of Texas at Austin. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.